Right. I don't think I need the name list. I know where y'all sit. Sometimes that's how I pray, because I just go down the rows. I know where everybody sits. So, Thanksgiving brings to mind Snoopy and the Peanuts. They have a Thanksgiving program too, you know. Snoopy has to make toast, I think, and popcorn. You remember the Pilgrims, you know, family, friends together, sharing a bountiful or not meal. As we said, it's not about the amount that's the most important thing. Although we might argue about it, it's not about the amount of food that there is. It was on Thanksgiving a lot of years ago that actress Helen Hayes, if you remember Helen Hayes, she cooked her first turkey. And before she even served it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son, James. She said, "Now, I know this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. So if it isn't right, I don't want anybody to say a word. We'll just get up from the table without comment and go down to the restaurant for dinner." So she retired to the kitchen, you know, get the rest of the stuff. Very soon she enters the dining room. She's got the turkey in hand, and she finds her husband and son seated at the table wearing their coats and hats. So, sometimes we have a premonition about how things are going to turn out, and they were ready to go. But we need to be thankful. We need to give prayers of thanksgiving. A thanksgiving to God for all things. Even if the turkey was a little dry, you still give thanks for that turkey. There's also a couple of guys walking in the field one day, and they spotted a bull out there, and the bull wasn't very happy, wasn't having a good day. So they took off running, headed towards the nearest fence. And of course, the storming bull's following in hot pursuit, and soon they realized, we're not going to make it. It's going to get to us before we get to the fence. So terrified, one of the men shouted out to the other, said, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." And John answered back, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." And the first guy said, "But you better, because that bull is catching up to us." So John replied, "All right, I'll say the only prayer that I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table." Then he began to pray, "O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." So, give thanks in all circumstances, but have a close enough relationship to God, and so the Holy Spirit can teach you how to pray. So, know what you're praying for, know what you're praying about. Let's start out 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, which is really small. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I forgot. We have a video. Go ahead and show that first. So yes, remember what it's all about, what Thanksgiving truly is. I'm thankful. See, we got people here to keep me on track when I forget what I said I was going to do. So thank you, Lisa and Levi up there. So now we can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pray continually. You know, have conversations with God at all times. You know, not just special set times, not before meals or wait to realize when we finally need Him, when we get desperate, and then we reach out. You know, give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. They weren't going to be not going to give thanks that the bull was chasing them across that field. But you can give thanks God is in those situations. He can get you to the fence first. God's in those places. Being thankful God is in them with you. And it says, you know, it says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I think that all those go together, that, you know, if you have that ongoing, steady relationship with God, then you know, by this continual prayer, you're in continued communion with Him and understand giving thanks in all things, then, you know, then your trust in Him is such that you can give those things in all situations because you understand how in charge of everything He truly is. He's in charge of those things. And when you understand that, then the rejoicing can come. Rejoicing always in that He's in charge of those things. He's got your best in His mind, the best for you. He's doing these things for you. In American tradition, Thanksgiving, as most of you know, started back in the 1620s. And 1623, they gathered the harvest in November, and the governor of the Plymouth colony, William Bradford, made the following proclamation. He says, "All ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill, and there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for His blessings." You know, pilgrims were expected and desired to give gratitude to God for their survival. It wasn't easy. They went up through a lot of hardships, as you know, and reaching their new home. You know, sailing across the Atlantic much longer than they anticipated. And, about half of them arrived not sick. And then that first winter was really rough with hardships, a lack of food and care, and it was difficult to care for the sick because there were more of them than there were healthy people. So it was tough, but yet they gave thanksgiving for what God had done. Thanksgiving was a time of praise and thankfulness for the blessings that the Lord had given them on their journey. There's blessings in everything. Even though it was a difficult time, a difficult winter, and through all the trials they faced, God was still in those things. I'm going to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And we're in the Minor Prophets at Bible study. We finished Joel. If you come back or look forward to January, we'll be in Hosea. So you can study up on Hosea. But Habakkuk, if you don't know, is just a three-chapter book. It's Habakkuk talking to God. You know, he starts out saying, "God, we're in a mess. I'm trying to talk to people. Everybody's sinning. It wasn't all the other peoples. It was Israel, too. Our people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Our people are sinful people. They're prideful people. They're selfish people. They're doing all these things." And he says, "We need a revival. We need things to change. I need you to do something to change it." God says, I know. He said, I've seen what's going on. He said, "I'm going to do something." He said, "People aren't going to believe what I'm going to do." He said, "You can go tell everybody. They're not going to believe it, but I'm going to do amazing things." Well, the amazing things was he was going to bring in the Babylonians to wipe them out. The Babylonians were going to come in. They were going to destroy Israel. They were going to destroy the temple. They were going to destroy the fields, take the animals, exile the people to another place. But again, God does that not for punishment. He does it because He said, "I want my people to get to know me again." It's to bring them back, not to punish. It's to turn them around, get them to that place where they can learn to be with Him again, to be what He wants them to be. And this is towards the end where Habakkuk realizes, he talks to him a little bit, "But your character, God, and, these are your people, and why would you use," we all question things sometimes. God has, our ways are not God's ways, He says, "Why would you use an evil, really evil person on your people, even though we're sinning? I want a revival, but why would you use such an evil people, cruel people?" And that's when he said, "Look, this is going to take place. The sin has reached that point. I'm going to do something. And there will be a revival, but it'll be because they need to come back to me through the trials." Habakkuk finally realizes that and understands who God is, that God's in charge, and he makes a choice to believe, to trust, and to give thanks. That's what he does here right at the end of the book. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, because the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. So through it all, you know, though I have nothing, you know, if everything's taken away, I'll still rejoice. I'll still give thanks, because God's her strength, herself. God is still there. He doesn't go anywhere. It's not the things that make us. The things hurt us sometimes. Habakkuk made the choice. Though I lose everything, I still give thanks. Still rejoice in the Lord. Go back to America later after the Revolutionary War. November 1st, 1777, Congress declared the first National Thanksgiving was proclaimed and signed by Henry Lawrence, President of the Continental Congress. And the third Thursday in November that year was designated as follows. And they designated it with a word. It says, designated for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor and their humble and earnest supplication, that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ mercifully to forgive and blot their manifold sins out of remembrance, that it may please him. It goes on to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under its nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Later on, as first president, George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving, a broader one, for America, marked in November 26th of 1789, as he designated it as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God and calling on Americans to unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. And finally, George Washington then proclaimed on Thursday, the 19th of November in 1795, that that would be set aside as a national day of thanksgiving all the time. In this proclamation, he stated that it is our duty as a people, with devout reverence and affectionate gratitude, to acknowledge our many great and obligations to the Almighty God, and to implore him to continue as our duty as a people, and also without devout reverence and affectionate gratitude, to acknowledge our many and great obligations to Almighty God, and to implore him to continue and confirm the blessings we experience. I don't know if you caught it in there, but thanksgiving in those comments always came with repentance. They kind of go together. Thanksgiving, you know, to forgive and blot out our manifold sins out of remembrance. That was one of the pleas. Beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. That's part of being thankful. Repentance, understanding who we are, who God is, and being thankful for him. Also committing to the Lord. It's part of that thankfulness. You know, consecrate themselves to the service of the divine benefactor. You know, many and great obligations to God Almighty. And thanksgivings for the many blessings he's given. You know, when you have something, you have a car, it depreciates. You know, the minute you drive out of the parking lot, it goes down in value. We want things that appreciate. You know, sometimes gold, silver, precious metals appreciate. Coins can appreciate, they get more valuable. And that's what appreciation is. Appreciation is when something grows in value. And when you appreciate something or someone, you increase its value. And I think if you truly appreciate what God has done for you, what he does with you, it naturally raises his value to you. I think the other word is gratitude. Because if you appreciate something, gratitude falls in. Gratitude adds an emotional indebtedness towards someone or something who's done something that you appreciate, that you owe them. You want to give back. You want to give back to God. And that increases our relationship with him too. You know, appreciation and gratitude are pretty powerful. If you have gratefulness, it's pretty hard to hold envy and greed and bitterness when you're full of gratefulness. We're going to have an invitation in just a few minutes. Another thing that keeps us from being thankful is pride. You know, sometimes we don't feel we owe it or we don't have enough to be thankful for. We're more concerned about, instead of looking at what we have, we get concerned about what we lack. Our focus is in that direction. You know, Henry Ward Beecher said, pride slays thanksgiving. Pride slays thanksgiving. But a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. Pride gets us in a lot of ways. Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. There's nothing wrong with asking God just about anything, but there is something wrong by not giving thanks. You know, he says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about stuff. You know, ask me. Every situation you can bring to me, bring it in prayer. Bring it in petition, but bring it with thanksgiving. Then present your quest to God. Come in a thankful manner, a thankful attitude. And close with Hebrews 12:28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It's like George Washington said up above, acknowledge the many and great obligations we have to the Almighty God. Now, we owe him. He's given us everything. He's given us eternal life. He gave us his son. And we should be appreciative. We should have gratitude. We should have thankfulness for that. You know, God's love is unconditional love, agape love. It's unconditional. I think thanksgiving is unconditional if we're in the right frame of mind with God, if we're right with God, because it doesn't depend on our circumstances. You know, love and thanksgiving, the source of both is God alone. It's not based on what he gives. It's based on who he is. Give thanks for what we have, not what we lack. Most of the time we have enough. Now give thanks for the success if you have it, but also at that time remember the obstacles that got you there. Now give thanks for all the trials and problems that gave us patience, perseverance, and faith. Those things happen to help us. Give thanks in all things. We've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, we've already mentioned the church and all you people and what you've given. How you helped Thanksgiving for some families this week. How you're giving and helping for families coming up at a Christmas party coming up. You know, being able to pass out the baskets. Our kids and grandkids are a blessing. We should be thankful for them. We're also thankful for other, you know, the things around us. Thankful for, you mentioned the bus. The bus is out there. You know, so many people put into that. So many people put into that. Say, well, we need this. Somebody comes up. Okay, I'll do it. Somebody that won't run. Some guy comes up. Say, I'll help. I'll fix it. It's fixed. Chad and Kathy. The amount of time that Chad's been out there. He let me help unless it was serious. If I couldn't mess it up, that was my job. No, Chad was great. Put in the floor, put in the couches, the cabinets. I mean, it's just incredible what he did. It's wrapped. There was no bill for that. Just, she wanted music for the parade. People brought it yesterday and put it in. So, lots of things to be thankful for. Just ask God if you need them. You know, we went to, even the other day, went to the shopping thing. If you don't go, you need to go. That's sort of fun. It's funner when you go to the wing place and you order the ten wing meal and they give you 15. But no, appreciate it. Again, thankful for all those people that went. And you know, it's a lot of shopping, a lot of shopping carts. I enjoy the shoes best. That's easier. What size you need, boy or girl, I got it. But also, you know, you pray for things that maybe you're feeling a little short on. A couple of days I had in my mind, I thought, man, I feel we're not really doing enough for the less fortunate, so to speak, or at least personally, wasn't. Well, God provided. Pulled up into the parking place at Kohl's. What's the first thing we saw? A car down at the end, the hood up, and a girl crying. So, God provided the opportunity. So we got her back on the road. Can't remember her first name. Last name was Lewis. But she's living in her car, driving around. Has some plans, maybe not the best ones, but she had some plans. But we got her back on the road again and going. Got to talk with her, pray with her. So pray for those things you want. He'll give you those opportunities and be thankful for them. Let's pray.